From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo pushes green energy sources for national electricity supply. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin says macro, small and medium enterprises need to adapt to technological disruption. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo prioritizes meeting national electricity needs through a transition policy from the use of fossil energy to green energy. He said the government supports everything related to national electricity needs, but now Indonesia is starting to shift to green energy. The president made the statement on the sidelines of a working visit to Indramayu on Friday, as quoted by Antara. He was responding to Japan's decision to stop funding the construction of the steam power plant in Indramayu. He remarked, "All steam power plants must be supercritical," and he thinks the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources knows all the standards. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin has said that micro, small, and medium enterprises need to adapt to a technological disruption. He stated it in a response to reports of Tanah Abang market, Central Jakarta, being severely affected by digital markets. Not long ago, Indonesia faced a sad fact that conventional markets such as Tanah Abang market, known to be the biggest textile center in Indonesia, even in Southeast Asia, were eroded by the digital market. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin, in his speech at the annual meeting of the Syariah Supervisory Board, which was broadcast on the Vice Presidential Secretariat's YouTube channel and accessed on Friday, said digital technology and innovation are driving factors of the current disruption of the global economy. The Indonesian Ministry of Trade is ready to arrange training for micro, small, and medium enterprises so that they can sell their products using digital platforms. The Ministry of Trade trains market traders as well as macro, small, and medium enterprises entrepreneurs. Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan said after visiting traders at Tanah Abang Market, Central Jakarta on Friday. He explained that micro, small, and medium enterprises players will receive free training on how to sell products on digital platforms as well as techniques for packaging and displaying products to attract more customer interest. Meanwhile, Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Minister Teten Mas Duki has said that the digital transformation in Indonesia must create new economic opportunities to support this domestic economic sector. He made the statement while attending the Young Entrepreneur Hub event at the National Education University Denpasar, Bali on Friday. According to Teten Mas Duki, in the midst of the current rapid digital transformation, Indonesia is still focusing on the downstream sector, so it does not have a big impact on the development of Indonesia's digital economy. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thousands of Palestinians fled to southern Gaza in search of refuge on Saturday, October the 14th, after Israel warned them to evacuate before an expected ground offensive against Hamas in retaliation for the deadliest attack in Israel's territory. As reported by CNA.com, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned that nearly a week of fierce bombardment was just the beginning as Israel seeks to get revenge on Hamas, whose fighters killed more than 1,300 nearly a week ago. Russian President Vladimir Putin has denied that his country damaged an undersea gas pipeline between Finland and Estonia. As reported by BBC.com, investigators found a rupture on the Baltic Connector pipeline was caused by mechanical force. Finnish officials said they could not rule out a state actor being involved. President Putin said it was rubbish to blame Russia and the damage could have been caused by an anchor or earthquake. The pipeline shut last weekend as operators noted a sudden drop in pressure. Vietnam will be able to achieve an overall annual growth of 5.8% for 2023. Asian Development Bank, Asian Development Bank Country Director for Vietnam, Santanu Chakraborty, said on Friday, as reported by VOVWorld.vn on October the 13th. According to him, this is premised upon early signs of upticks in the services industry and in the construction industry. The Asian Development Bank, or ADB, is also seeing growth in the agricultural sector, given the robust stability that has been shown in agricultural prices. Chakraborty noted that the monetary and fiscal policies adopted by the government up until now have helped keep inflation under control, adding that the ADB's current projection for inflation in Vietnam is 3.8% for 2023 and 4% for 2024. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Garda Pancasila.
The first news comes from Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan. The South Kalimantan Regional Management Council for Indonesian Orchid Lovers is optimizing 8 conservation parks to save orchid plant and habitat from the threat of forest and land fires in 13 districts and cities in the area. Its chair, Arinda Dian Susanti in Banjarmasin, Wednesday said that Kalimantan has 3,000 orchid species which habitat will be moved from forest and land fire prone locations to conservation parks. To date, no orchids have been affected by forest and land fires yet. However, Arinda Dian Susanti said that smoke and heat can inhibit the growth of orchid species. According to her, if forest and land fires are accompanied by a prolonged hot season, the habitat of rare orchid species could be threatened with extinction, especially since orchid species take years to flower, some even take up to 20 years. Arinda Dian Susanti said that even though the fire locations in South Kalimantan are dominated by peatlands, this still threatens the existence of orchids because their habitat in South Kalimantan is not only in land forests, but also in peatlands or swamp area. The next news comes from Tulung Agung District, East Java Province. The Library and Archives Service of Tulung Agung Regency, East Java, keeps 2 ancient manuscripts written in Old Balinese and Old Javanese letters on wooden sheets estimated to be more than 300 years old. When shown to the media crew in the Library and Archives Service storage room, the two ancient manuscripts were still in fairly good condition. Junior archivist of the Tulung Agung Regency Library and Archive Service, Selan in Tulung Agung, Wednesday said that the manuscripts were found in the area of Pendopo Kongas Arum Kusumaning Bongso Tulung Agung in 2019. According to him, the ancient manuscripts are included in the static archive list and stored in a special cupboard and must be preserved. Tulung Agung Library and Archive Service is currently carrying out a digitization process to make it easier for the public to access the manuscript. The last news comes from Denpasar, Bali. Department of Agriculture of Denpasar City, Bali launched the GoChip Unified Digital Identity Innovation, which is embedded in animals in Denpasar Monday. Head of the Denpasar City Agriculture Service Bali, Anak Agung Gede Bayu Brasmasta, at the launch of the GoChip Unified Digital Identity in Denpasar Monday, said that installing microchips on animals, especially dogs, can prevent and anticipate the spread of rabies in the area. According to him, installing this microchip also makes it easier to collect data on animals in Sanur Kaja village so that they can find out the animal record data. Apart from that, this is to ensure that pets are not exposed to diseases and other viruses, thereby creating safe, comfortable and peaceful Denpasar City and especially Sanur Kaja Village. That was news from across Indonesia. I'll start today in history with October the 14th, 1921. The birth of General Hugeng. Hugeng Imam Santoso, or better known as Police General Hugeng, is one of the best sons of the Indonesian nation. Not only respected among the police, the fifth chief of the National Police of the Republic of Indonesia is also loved by the Indonesian people. Throughout his life, General Hugeng, who was born in Pekalongan October 14, 1921, was known as an honest, firm, modest, and brave police officer. In order to maintain his integrity as National Police Chief, General Hugeng is willing to live a simple life. Under his leadership, criminals had really a difficult time. Moving on to October 14, 1946, the first World Standard Day. The history of World Standard Day began with a meeting in London to discuss the formation of an organization focused on developing world standards after World War II. Quoting www.iso.org, 65 delegates from 25 countries held a meeting to discuss the future of international standardization. The first meeting was held in London in 1946. In 1947, the International Organization for Standardization, ISO, was officially established with a total of 67 technical sections. Each section is filled with experts who focus on discussing a topic. I'll end today in history with October the 14th, 1973. Thammasat students uprising in Thailand. Around 100,000 Thammasat students in Thailand staged a protest on October the 14th, 1973. This action was carried out against and to overthrow Thanom Kittikachorn's military government. This incident resulted in 77 people being killed and 857 people being injured by the Royal Thai Army. That was today in history.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is entitled Indonesia Launches CPO Exchange. Indonesian Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan inaugurated the Indonesian Crude Palm Oil or CPO exchange at the Mulia Hotel Jakarta Friday, October the 13th, with the hope that Indonesia will become a reference for world palm oil prices. Quoting Antara, Zulkifli Hasan said that domestic palm oil entrepreneurs no longer have to refer to the prices set by the Rotterdam and Malaysian CPO exchanges. He expects that in the future, the Indonesian CPO exchange can become a barometer of world CPO prices, considering Indonesia's position as the largest producer of this commodity. Minister Zulkifli Hasan said that Indonesia's CPO export in 2022 reached almost 47 million tons with a value of $29.62 billion. The government, he said, only acts as a facilitator on the CPO exchange. It is hoped that CPO entrepreneurs can participate in enlivening the stock exchange so that they can realize Indonesia's dream of becoming the world's CPO barometer. Meanwhile, head of the Commodity Futures Trading Supervisory Agency, Didit Nurdiatmoko, said it had issued a decree. Didit Nurdiatmoko said the agency had issued a decree on October the 9th stating that the Indonesia Commodity and Derivatives Exchange was appointed as the organizer of the physical CPO market on the stock exchange. Furthermore, CPO trading through the current exchange is voluntary, so it is not mandatory. However, he believes that CPO business actors are willing to participate. Didit Nurdiatmoko explained that the CPO exchange will place sellers and buyers at the same level so they have bargaining power. In the end, a reference price for CPO will be formed. He also encourages micro, small and medium enterprises, coconut entrepreneurs and palm oil entrepreneurs to participate in the Indonesian CPO exchange. According to data from the Commodity Futures Trading Supervisory Agency, currently there are 18 CPO business actors who are ready to trade via the stock exchange. According to Didit, this is a very good start and shows that there is a strong desire from business actors to realize fairer and more transparent CPO trading. He hopes that the CPO exchange will be fully operational starting October the 23rd, 2023, and can then start to form price discovery. The government hopes that in the first quarter of 2024, there will be a price reference. That was My Indonesia Today.
Say what you really mean to say. Words
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. Traveling to Lamongan City, East Java is not complete if you don't enjoy a culinary to the city. Lamongan is a small regency located in the East Java which has various special foods. One of them is nasi boronan or sego boronan, which is a traditional food of Lamongan, East Java. Sellers of nasi boronan usually sell their food from afternoon to evening. This rice is also usually sold on a lesehan around the city markets in Lamongan Regency. Listener, the term of nasi boranan is taken from the container for rice called boranan, which is a kind of basket made of bamboo which is circular at the top and square at the bottom with four supports at each other. With almost the same shape, people around Lamongan City also use this type of basket for various purposes such as for transporting and various agricultural commodities. Listener, in general, food is served using plates or bowls, but this is different from boranan rice, which is served by using leaves and its shape into a cone, or in Javanese it is pincuk, and uses a rice container made from woven bamboo. Nasi boranan consists of rice, spices, side dishes, peanut brittle, vegetables mixed with grated coconut called yurap or warehouse, and pletuk, which is dried rice or nuts. Meanwhile, boranan rice seasoning consists of ground spices. Then boranan rice is coated with a special sauce which gives a spicy taste because it is made from galangang, ginger, shrimp, paste, kaffir lime, boiled cayenne pepper, and soaked raw rice as a thickener, grated coconut, shallots, garlic, pepper, sugar, and salt. Listener, the specialty of boranan rice, which you will not find on the other miners, is soft, and it is made from seasoned wheat flour and fried in the shape of balls with detended dreadlocks made from cassava. Meanwhile, the side dish of silly fish cannot be found at all the time because it is a seasonal fish. For each pincuk nasi boranan, which contains rice, vegetable, ointment, pletuk, dreadlocks, tofu, and tempeh, and peanut brittle, you only need to pay from 6,000 rupiah to 17,000 rupiah depending on the fish chosen. Boranan rice is usually sold from 4:30 to 8:30 and 4 o'clock p.m. to 4:30 p.m. rotating between traders. Usually traders is sell it by carrying it using a scarf, the culinary delight and only be found in Lamongan. So if you have the opportunity to visit Lamongan, nasi boranan, which is a typical Lamongan culinary dish. Well, listener, that was my Indonesian wonder for today's edition, and we will see you again tomorrow with another interesting topic.
Di atas meja rindu itu hilang dalam kata-kata. Sebentar lagi kita saling lupa. Kita menjelma pagi dingin yang dipayungi kabut, tak bisa lagi bercerita apa adanya. Mengapa takut pada lara sementara semua rasa bisa kita ciptakan. selalu ada terang di sela-sela gelisah yang menunggu reda. Di dalam kamar rindu itu menguap dalam kebisuan. Sebentar lagi kita semakin lupa. Kita menjelma kebisuan yang tak bisa diungkap. Tak bisa lagi bercerita apa adanya. Mengapa takut pada lara, sementara semua rasa bisa kita cipta. Akan selalu ada tenang di sela-sela gelisah yang menunggu reda.
Listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. Today's miscellany informs you about Gajah Mada University or UGM in Yogyakarta, Indonesia, student research team named Video Constructive Ideas through the 2023 Student Creativity Program succeeded in presenting the EGTech Flathouse Technological Innovation as a solution for complex management in low-cost apartment buildings, or in Indonesian we call it rusun. Egitech Flat House is also designed as a solution for clean water supply and healthy air quality in the area. Video Constructive Ideas research team concluded that low-cost apartment buildings will become an alternative place to live as land prices become increasingly expensive. By making low-cost apartment buildings your choice of residence, a number of problems will arise, especially waste management, availability of clean water, and energy requirements. Based on this idea, Egitech Flat House is presented as an integrated solution that maximizes various potentials, especially the energy potential in flat houses. The team consisted of four UGM vocational school students, namely Nicholas Aditya Pratama, Septian Widyo Nugroho, Almira Lutfianda, and Daniel Emmanuel Manafe, as well as accompanying lecturer Dr. Eng Aditya Yoga Purnama, STMN. Nicholas explained that this innovation combines various devices that are optimized through the EGF application. Through this application, potential energy that was previously wasted can become a significant alternative energy source to meet the energy needs of low-cost apartment buildings residents. Listener, the features contained in Egitech Flat House are expected to be able to overcome the problems of waste management, lack of clean water, air quality, and low-cost apartment management. In terms of operational equipment, Egitech Flat House consists of a number of tools for optimizing energy potentials, such as EgiBright, which uses electrical energy for lighting and as a backup source when the power goes out, as well as piezoelectric smart stairs, which produce energy when stepped on. EgiWater is a rainwater management system that is capable of converting rainwater into drinking water, clean water, and electrical energy through a micro hydro energy power plant that is integrated with the EgiApp application. Apart from energy features, Egitech Flat House also supports sustainable development goals in Indonesia, namely with EgiSmart, which integrates the National Library in e-book form, and EgiReport, which provides warnings and regarding abnormal information. The research team believes that the Egitech Flat House innovation can contribute as a solution to real problems in Indonesia, utilize the energy potential in low-cost apartments, and support the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals in Indonesia.
When I got caught, I hope that you're the verdict. When you're around, my insides turn inverted. My blood starts to rush when I see you dormant. I know you're nearby and I know your purpose. Take one look at you, your heaven's incarnate. What is the spell, baby? Please show some mercy. Yeah. rub off on me. So you'll smile at everything I say. You got some soft lips and some pearly white. I wanna touch them in the dead of night. Your smile ignites just like a candlelight. Last time I wanna know everything's alright. Melting like an ice cream when you smile. Melting your other dreams, stay away.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present you a keroncong song called Indonesia Adiluhur by Mami Marsudi. The song composed by Suradi Santoso was released on digital platform on July 21, 2023. This keroncong song tells about beautiful views of Indonesia's nature and beaches combined with noble culture. This song calls for listeners to be grateful with God's extraordinary grace so it can awaken the love for Indonesia. Well, listener, here is Mami Marsudi with the song Indonesia Adiluhur. Enjoy!
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.